God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This morning we worship you. You are holy, 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 Lord, as the angels declare constantly before your throne. You are holy, holy, holy. We worship you today, Almighty God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love, for your tender mercies. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Lord, you did not leave us alone. Lord, you have sent your Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us. God, we thank you. You've given us a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, your holy word, we thank you for that, God. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for our sins, that we might be forgiven if we would but believe, confess, turn to him and follow him. We're grateful today that we can know you and we can walk with you. Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We welcome everyone here today. We welcome those of you with us. Some traveled to be with us today. We welcome you to Fire and Grace Church this morning. We welcome those watching and listening by Blog Talk and YouTube, Facebook, different areas out there. We welcome everyone. Just want to make a quick announcement before we get into the message this morning. We're just so excited about the conference coming up. It's really getting close now. We're less than 3 months away. The room seats 400 max. I know we're over 340 registered at this moment. So, wow, I'm just blown away. We did get good news. You know, I'd originally scheduled and asked Rick Hummer to be one of our speakers to be with us. And then he said he would. Then he had a conflict arise. And then, anyway, it just worked out this week where he's going to at least be able to be with us on the Friday of the conference. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Robbie Davidson. He's got a new book coming out, should be out by the conference, Scientism Exposed, his first book. We're going to have a great time. There's so many people coming from all over the country and different parts of the world. I really didn't imagine it becoming this big as it has. So I just want to let you know, though, if you want to come to the conference, you better register, because the registered ones will seats go to first, and then we'll have a waiting list after that in case certain people can't make it and then there's room. But anyway, just wanted to let everybody know that is going great. I think there's still rooms too at the Auburn Hotel, the Hotel at Auburn University, the Conference Center, Dixon Conference Center, where we're going to be. There's some of our rooms, block rooms left too. So skyfall2018.com, that's where you go to do all that. So let's get into the word this morning. I want to get into a message I really, again, didn't plan on, but is important. I entitled this, Worshiping the Feminine, the Rise of Babylon. Got a lot to cover this morning. There is just really, how many of you know, what's this singer's name? What was her name? Ariana Grande, that's her name? Just came out with a song and video that was sent to me yesterday, entitled God is a Woman. And really, I've seen this trend continuing to build over the last, you know, several years. The Shack talked about God, had depicted God the Father as a woman. I mean, this is really unbelievable. What we need to know where this stuff all started. There's nothing new. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, made this statement. He said, there is nothing new under the sun, right? There's nothing new. Just Satan revives. He revives his different, you know, lies and deceptions and even his false gods and idols and deities. He just revives them for new generations. But they all came from the past. So which one do I get? Oh, this one here. Just so you see, this was the Shack. Of course, I just grabbed this real quick, but that's a ChristianityToday.com. At least they weren't for it, which is amazing. But the Shack, as you see, this is the character, the human, and this is allegedly God the Father. This is God the Son. This is supposed to be Jesus, and this is supposed to be the Holy Spirit, Sophia. There's a constant trying to integrate the feminine into God the Father. I don't know how you do that. God the Father, right? God the Son. I don't know how you exactly try to turn them into feminine, but, and let me just say at the outset of this morning, I have nothing against women. God created women for His purpose, for a glorious reason, but there is an order in the kingdom of God, not meaning one better than the other, but God put order in the kingdom and in the world. And so, listen, I know there's been a lot of foul, abusive men in leadership, in the political realm, as husbands, as fathers. There's been a lot of abusive, terrible men. But listen, folks, there's been a lot of abusive and terrible women too, right? So, I mean, we could make the argument on both sides. Just because there's been abuse of something doesn't mean we throw out God's principles and order. I mean, we're in this situation now where they're trying to switch over. You know, we don't know what you are when you're born. Doesn't matter what you know, you're born with. We don't know if you're a boy or a girl. No sound? Oh, we are? Okay. All right, it came back. All right, well, cool. All right, but anyway, just making sure we'll make sure everybody's hearing out there. So, of course we are. I don't think there's anything quite as demonic in the world right now as this whole worship of the feminine, this whole worship of the goddess, this whole push that the woman in feminine power is so superior to everything. And there really is a reason for that. I mean, because if you go back, remember, the Bible tells us that there would be a revival of Babylon. Remember, we see in the book of Revelation 17 and 18, it says there's this thing called Mystery Babylon the Great. And it says she is the mother of harlots and abominations on the earth. Now, I've made it clear, I believe that the mother, Mystery Babylon, is the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican. But remember, it says she's the mother of harlots, abominations. And of course, as you'll see, goddess worship is alive and well in Rome as well, in the Roman Catholic Church. Let's keep going here. Here's just a few of the, just pulled a few articles up last night. Of course, this is Charisma News. God is not a woman, despite what these female bishops say. We have segments of the church trying to switch and change God from masculine to feminine. Not a new concept, but is really a push at this over the last few years. Of course, that's 2015 article. Washington Post, why God is a curvy black woman in the shack, and some Christian critics say it's heresy. Well, yeah, it's heresy. It is an introduction, really, as you're going to see, this push to worship the feminine, this push to try to change God's image into female, even to push the idea that the Holy Spirit is feminine, as Zen Garcia and some others that are into Gnostic texts have tried to do in recent years. To do that, you're really beginning to reveal yourself as being part of the ancient Babylonian Sumerian religion started by Nimrod and his wife, Saramis. I guess that's how you would say her name. Again, there's what is that? BBC. Why is God not female? A group in the Church of England calling for services to address God as she, as well as he. So as you see, we've got a theological and identity problem going on in the world. Pretty crazy, huh? It blows my mind. Of course, as I stated a minute ago, Mary worship is alive and well in Roman Catholicism. Do you see this statue of Mary, whom they call the Queen of Heaven, who was also a title of the Queen of Babylon back in the day? Look at all those people worshiping this statue, this idol, this goddess, this female. The Roman Catholic Church has even taken it so far as to say that Mary is without sin, that she's co-redeemer with Jesus and part of the Godhead, and that it is through her that we get eternal life as she goes to Jesus to intercede for us. I mean, this is literally the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. I've documented it from their own websites, so I'm not making this stuff up. Here is, last time I read in Scripture, bowing, kneeling, raising hands to, singing praises to, and praying to are all forms of worship, right? So, again, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, who is depicted as being in scarlet and purple, red and purple. We know the bishops of Rome wear purple and the cardinals wear scarlet red. And it says she's the city that sits on seven hills. It says she is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. And then John made the statement in 96 AD that she was the city that presently reigns over the kings of the earth. So there's no question he's referring to Rome, but it's not just Rome. This mystery Babylon is multifaceted. It's it's what you're seeing, and it's what we're going to get into. It is part of bringing all the religions of the world together. And that's what the Bible foretold in prophecy right before the second coming of Jesus. You would see a one world religion. You would see the blasphemies increase. The blasphemy to say that God the Father, Yahweh, Elohim, the Creator, to say that he is female is an absolute blasphemy. It is complete irreverence and foolishness. Yet this is what we're hearing. Right? To say for 1 second that there is anybody else involved in salvation, in saving us, apart from Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, to say there's any other aspect out there that Mary's even part of that is blasphemy. It diminishes what Jesus did on the cross. Blasphemies can be subtle, but isn't it amazing how they can be blasted and just repetitively hit in so many different ways that we become numb to what is actually blasphemy, what is actually the religion of ancient Babylon. And it's being pushed on all fronts. I mean, we see goddess worship in Hinduism. We see you can worship just about anything in Buddhism. If you want to, you can worship a tree, right? But I wanted you to see this. Listen, one of the biggest problems in the world for deception, idolatry, and false Christianity is the Roman Catholic Church. And anybody who tells you different, any preacher who tries to say, no, they're okay. It's not a big deal. Let's unite with our brothers in Rome, in the Vatican. Let me tell you, that is a deceiver right there. And Kenneth Copeland's one of them. So are some of these other big-name preachers like Rick Warren. Say, it was fake news that Rick Warren wanted to unite with Islam. Well, that may be true, but he has no problem uniting with the Roman Catholic Church, because I know for a fact he has their priest and apologist speak at his church in Saddleback. Billy Graham sold out to Rome. I mean, these are just facts, folks. But this is idolatry. When you bow, kneel, raise your hands to, sing praises to, and pray to someone else other than God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, you pray to Mary, you pray to saints, you pray to anything else. You pray to a woman, to a goddess, to another human being. You are deceived, you are in idolatry, and you are opening the doors to demons, but you're also part of the Babylonian mystery religion that will come to again to its full fruition in these last days. You have to make up your mind. I'm not going to be part of that. Let's go back and look at this a little bit. Ancient Babylon, of course, you have to go back into some history. You have to go back into some study, but you find out that, you know, Nimrod was the one, Genesis chapter 10 and 11 there, that tried to build, where they tried to build the Tower of Babel. And that was the place where they began to rebel against God. And, of course, Nimrod married his mother. Anybody see a problem with that? All right? And anyway, so you find this mother-child worship began in ancient Babylon, and you see it go down through in India. You see it in Roman Catholicism, Diana of the Ephesians. You hear Diana, you hear Ashtoreth, you hear all these names. It's just different names of different cultures put on the same mother goddess baby worship. Okay? Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't stay a baby, did he? God became a man. God came, became a man, but guess what? He grew up. Right? He became a full-grown man. Then he said, my mother and my brothers and my sisters are those that hear the word of God and do it. He put his mother and his family in their place, that it was more important to do the will of God. But see, this stuff, this female, the worship of the feminine, this can be traced all the way back to Babel, all the way back to Nimrod, all the way back to his mother. It's interesting, here's Nimrod. Nimrod means to rebel. So he who made all the people to rebel against God. He went by different names, of course. Many scholars and theologians and archaeologists now say that definitely Gilgamesh was Nimrod as well. Josephus said he also gradually changed the government into tyranny, turning men from the fear of God. And the Targum say that in the face of Yahweh means defiance of Yahweh. That Babel and Nimrod and his mother, Saramis, that they were the beginning of the rebellion against God Almighty after the flood. This was the beginning of it. And the Tower of Babel was part of that. And Babel became Babylon, right? The land of Shinar. It's going to be important in a minute. We're going to dig into that. It's interesting. There's an ancient painting of what somebody thought the unfinished Tower of Babel might look like. And interesting that the European Parliament building tried to mimic that, to push the New World Order, the uniting of nations, the uniting of the world. Just thought it interesting. But God is worship began at Babel. Let's keep going. Let's read this. I just wanted you to read. I mentioned Revelation 17 a minute ago. This is Revelation 17, 1 through 6. Let's just read it. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, I've made it clear in days past, I know this is the Roman Catholic Church. But let's also get I guess you would say the symbols here are very interesting. Look at the end of the age. We all think about the New World Order, the Antichrist, and the beast government, the world system, right? The beast that she's going to ride. Well, but the woman's riding the beast. Now, last time I checked, who is in control? Right. Who? If she's riding the beast, she's what? Tamed the beast. The beast is obedient and loyal to her. But see, I see something even bigger in this picture here. Isn't it interesting that God is showing us in the end what is exalted even above the beast world government system? The feminine. It's the woman. It's the great whore. It's the mother of harlots and abominations, which tells us also that it's not a virtuous woman that we're going to be, the world's going to be looking up to and admiring and putting on a pedestal and worshiping. No, most of these goddesses that they worship, and most of these, whether it be in Wicca, whether it be in Satanism, whether it be, you know, in any other, you know, weird thing that's out there, it's usually a lot of fertility, a lot of sexual immorality, a lot of just complete sexual insanity going on with this stuff, as you will see. But I wanted you to see, just get the picture in your mind. Think of this. God's saying one of the biggest problems in the end will be this woman that's exalted on this beast, the female, the feminine. There it is. Just to give you a little picture there. Babylon mystery, then the woman that rides the beast. Beast is doing her bidding, really. Let's keep going. Something interesting in Wicca, now this is going to make a lot of sense. I want you to pay close attention to this. But traditionally in Wicca, the goddess is seen as the triple goddess. Remember that. Just remember this. Triple goddess. Three female entities. It's very important you remember that. But it says that traditionally in Wicca, the goddess is seen as the triple goddess, meaning that she is the maiden, the mother, and the crone. The mother aspect, the mother goddess is perhaps the most important of these, and it was her that Gerald Gardner and Margaret Murray claimed was the ancient goddess of the witches. Everybody hear that? Now, this guy, Gerald Gardner, he's an interesting character. Him and L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons of the Rocket Jet Propulsion Laboratory, they used to hang out and do this little thing. I'll show you in a minute, Babylon Rising. But they were all about Satanism and witchcraft and rituals to bring about the power of the feminine. They were doing this. They were doing these satanic rituals in the 1940s. But I want you to remember that. In Wicca, it's three goddesses. Because I want to show you in a minute where the Bible foretold all this. All right? Here it is. Let's return to Zechariah chapter 5. This right here has puzzled me, this vision, for many years. I've had different thoughts and ideas about it. But when I saw this video that I'm going to show you in a minute, we're not going to watch the video. And even I took screenshots of the video and still had to cover some spots. So please don't, parents, don't let your children go watch the video that we're going to look at today. Young people, there's no need for you to see it. As somebody said, you don't have to look into the sewer to know what's in there. That's my job, right? I help you out with that. But let's read this in Zechariah. Now, in chapter 5, there's two different visions. There's two different things God shows him. One, the first part, I believe, has to do with the UFO phenomena. I've talked about that and preached on this. I've actually never preached on this part of this in 31 years of preaching because I wasn't quite sure until now. But this is a vision that the Lord gave the prophet Zechariah, and this is about 536, 520 B.C., I think somewhere in that time period. I know between that time period, I'd have to go back and look, but maybe 520 B.C., somewhere like that. But let's read this. Zechariah 5, starting at verse 5 through 11. Then the angel that talked with me went forth, and he said unto me, lift up now thine eyes, and see what it is that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Now, the ephah is an interesting thing. I'm going to show you what that is. The ephah was a container that was used to carry wheat and barley, and it was a measure. It was 10 omers. I know that probably didn't help anybody. But anyway, it was a container, and it had an odd shape. It was kind of an oval shape container. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. So he says that he gives Zechariah to see this vision of an ephah. He goes, what is it? It's an ephah. And this is their resemblance, meaning this is what it's going to look like in all the earth. So this is something that would affect all the earth, right? So let's keep going. And he says, behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. So he saw a talent of lead lifted up, and then all of a sudden this talent of lead became a woman that is put in the middle or put in this ephah, this container. Everybody get the picture, right? So he said, behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ether, in the ephah. Now, listen to what he says right here. Verse 8, he said, this is wickedness. Think about that. Why is a woman in a basket, basically in a container, why is a woman something throughout all the earth that's going to be considered wickedness. Interesting. Let's keep going. He said, this is wickedness, and he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women. I'm hitting my thing here. We'll go back to that in a second. He said, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between earth and heaven. So think about this. That's the picture you get. And the angel that said to me, oh, and this is important. Then said the angel that talked with me, whither or where do these bear the ephah? Where are they carrying the ephah? So you have the ephah with a woman in it called wickedness. You have two other women with wings of a stork, which means the stork was an unclean animal. So these are unclean spirits. So you have the picture of what? Do we have a picture of here? Three women. What did Wicca say? Wicca says there's three goddesses, right? But he says, the angel that talked with me said, then I said to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah, or where are they carrying the ephah to? And he said, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now the land of Shinar, presently today, is Iraq. What was originally in the land of Shinar? If you, matter of fact, if you go back and you read Genesis chapter 11, it says they came to, when God said to the people, go forth and replenish the earth after the flood. And it says a group of them decided to settle in, they found a plain, they found a nice spot, nice flat spot. It says in the land of Shinar. That's where the Tower of Babel was built, and that's where Babylon began. Now remember, I believe this is a vision. We have spiritual things going on here. We have an ephah. We have a woman put in it called wickedness. We have two other spirits that appear as women with wings to carry this ephah. And they say to do what? To build it a house, to build it something in the land of Shinar. I believe this is just a direct reference to the connection between the lifting up of the feminine by unclean spirits to help rebuild Babylon. Everybody with me? Now, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. But if you find a better explanation of this, I'm all ears. But this kind of struck me because, remember, not everything we're dealing with here, again, we're dealing with a spiritual vision, we're dealing with a spiritual realm, and here we are in the last days. We're fighting some very powerful and very dark and sometimes very ancient spiritual forces. This is a vision to be interpreted. And I believe it probably really couldn't be until now. But I believe it's the exaltation, the demonic, satanic exaltation of this feminine goddess spirit. And that's what listen, nobody's for women being abused. Nobody's for men being abused. Nobody's for children being abused. This has nothing to do with it. But this whole Me Too movement thing, this whole mess that started when Trump got elected and all these women outraged. That's funny. Madonna outraged that Trump did something sexual. Oh, and she's never done anything sexually immoral or improper in front of a bunch of kids. I mean, the hypocrisy of this nonsense. But again, it's to push an agenda. There's an agenda being pushed. Exalt the feminine. Men are terrible. Men should be down here. Women should be up here. Right? And see, I know this spirit's working because even when I was at the Flat Earth International Conference in North Carolina, the woman that interrupted me at the end of my presentation, the heckler, I have no qualms about saying she's a witch. She admits she's a priestess. She's into all kind of new age, you know, guru weirdo stuff and blood rituals, blood over intent. I'm sorry, guys, that's a blood satanic ritual. I don't care if you want to call it that, it's not, it is. All right? But when she interrupted me, one of the things that she said is that God is a woman. God is female. We're done with this male patriarchy. We don't want any kind of man over us. We don't want any kind of authority figure over us. We don't want that. God is female. We won't even accept that God is male or masculine. We won't even accept that anymore. There is a real hatred. There is a real satanic, demonic hatred for real masculinity in men today. There really is. And it's satanic. I'm telling you. It's satanic. Again, it's not about trying to push women down, but don't push men down either. Right? Just the way it is. Let's keep going here. There's a little picture of it. Somebody did a little picture of it. A woman in the basket and the whole thing there. But let's keep going. Now, there's a real picture of an ephod, ancient one, old one. Old 10 omers. You see, it's kind of funky shaped. Kind of shaped like a UFO, isn't it? Kind of weird. And again, I think there's a connection to that as well. But let's keep going. Here's Miss Ariana Grande, or whatever her name is. This is her new video. God is a woman. This is how it opens up. She's standing. I love, too, all the heliocentric Copernican imagery here. Again, the lies. But look at her. She's standing in the midst of this galaxy, I guess, this swirling galaxy. Because in this video, she's God. She's the goddess. She's the one to be worshipped. You're going to see they worship her. You're going to hear, I'm going to play a clip for you, just straight blasphemy. She says, I am the Lord. Quoting from Ezekiel 25. When it says, I am the Lord, he said, I am Yahweh. Literally say, I am God. God is a woman. I mean, I couldn't even play this clip because she's doing gyrations as she's saying, God is a woman. Right? I mean, listen, folks, you want to talk about Ashtoreth, Semiramis, Aphrodite? You want to talk about all these goddesses? It was always sexual. It was always a lust field. It was always trying to use their sexuality to control and manipulate men and get what they want. But let's keep going here. So not only do we get this nonsense, but isn't it interesting how that little swirl there, is that a woman in the midst of an ephah? Is that the imagery they're trying to give us? I think maybe so. Remember, folks, this girl right here admits that she has been into the Kabbalah, which is the satanic occult side of Jewish mysticism, that she's been studying the Kabbalah since she was 12 years old. All right? So she understands the occult. And let me just go on in and tell you, she is nothing more than a paid, bought, Illuminati, satanic, Luciferian puppet meant to manipulate kids, young people, and now even adults. But she's been doing this since, what? She was on Nickelodeon, wasn't it? This is not an accident. And let me tell you something right now. The friend I have in Hollywood, he's the one that sent me this video yesterday. He said, you got to see this. And he's the one, he's been telling me. I mean, this guy's been working in Hollywood for over 20 years. I mean, he's worked on big stuff that everybody would know if I named it. Movies, TV shows, all kinds of stuff he's filmed. And he tells me right now, he said, the worship of women. He said this whole feminine, goddess, woman power, feminism, he said it's completely taken over Hollywood. And he said his girlfriend just found out that practically all her friends in this mother's group that she's into, all of them finally came out and admitted they're all witches. They're all in covens. And his words to me, I mean, this guy's a newborn again Christian. His words to me, he said, everybody in Hollywood, they're either Satanists or witches. It's completely being taken over. He said, he hasn't even said anything really publicly about being a follower of Jesus, and they know already that he's come to Jesus and he's losing work. Because Hollywood is completely controlled by the satanic elite, Illuminati, devil worshiping, child molesting, blood rituals, sex cult, insanity, just insane people. And this is all coming out, folks. This is just not Pastor me making this up. This is coming out in the news. What was the actress? I can't remember now. The actress who just got busted as being part of a trafficking ring and a sex slavery ring right in Hollywood. But I believe this is the imagery they've given us. The woman, this is wickedness. What they're telling you, this is wickedness. The woman in the midst of this evil. And she's saying God is a woman. It's the goddess. Worship the goddess. Let me tell you something else. Well, I'll save that for later. Let's keep going. Here's some other, just to give you, show you that these are mentioned in the Bible. Matter of fact, in Isaiah, there's a, in the King James talks about the screech owl. But if you look it up, it's Lilith. Lilith was another ancient goddess of Gnosticism. Oh, there's some crazy demonic stuff out there. Here it is again, the galaxies, right? She's above it all. She's in the midst of it all. Where did the two stork winged women, what did they do? It said they lifted the ephah up in the air. Where is she supposed to be? Up. High up. There's another interesting thing. I think this is representing that basically she's the balance. The planets up there in the balloons. I could spend some time talking about it. There's so much, but there's constant Copernican heliocentric. We know the whole deception, the satanic deception of even what creation is. But you see this peppered with out here. I think it's interesting. I think they're basically, we know they're smaller and they're not really these massive planets out there. They're just like balloons on my string here up in the sky. Take it for what you wish. Now, here's an interesting, I mentioned this a minute ago, but Jack Parsons. Jack Parsons, the founder of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, always playing around with explosives till he figured out how to make rocket fuel, right? He was also a big-time Satanist, big-time occultist, and none of this is hidden. He hung out with Crowley. They did satanic rituals, and one of the main satanic rituals they did was Babylon working, where him and the guy that founded, guess, Scientology, and what's Hollywood been eaten up with, Tom Cruise and many of the others, Scientology, another crazy cult, right? I happen to know, it's my book, The Polluted Church, but I happen to know in my research that L. Ron Hubbard had a spirit guide. It was a woman with wings, was his spirit guide that he would see when he would meditate and chant and do his stuff. This is the guy that founded Scientology. Again, what's he worshiping? Demonic spirit that appears in the form of a woman with wings. So this is the guy with Jack Parsons in the Hotel California. Everybody remember that? That's what this is talking about. They had a place, a house where they did all these rituals. And when Aleister Crowley, the beast, wasn't there, as they called him, they would talk on the phone and he would help them with their sex magic and all the other crazy rituals and things they would do it. All right? So here's what Babylon Working was. Here, you just look it up. The Babylon Working was a series of magic ceremonies or rituals performed from January to March 1946 by author, pioneer rocket fuel scientist, and occultist Jack Parsons and Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard. This ritual was essentially designed to manifest, now listen to this, this ritual, and remember, satanic rituals, witchcraft rituals are to bring spirits into our realm, into our world to operate. It says this ritual was essentially designed to manifest an individual incarnation of the archetypical divine feminine called Babylon. So he's saying these guys were together doing these satanic rituals to bring forth this divine feminine power called Babylon. Isn't that interesting? See, they understand. Listen, they understand the spirit realm. Remember, we talked about in the past few weeks how prayer, our prayers as born-again believers and followers of Jesus have great power in the spirit realm, and how God will send angels to fight the fallen angels and demon spirits. And as we pray, there is a real spirit realm, and it's happening all around us. We just can't see it all the time. Every now and then, God allows us to see it in a vision or a dream. But these people, they know. And of course, I find it very interesting, mind you, that recently CBS just released a series, I think it was in June, it's called Strange Angel, all about Jack Parsons, but it also includes all of his, let's say, extracurricular activities that are not for children or anybody who wants to keep a clean, holy mind, right? Now, this is not on normal TV. This is some kind of special access, CBS. But don't you find it interesting? We see the rise of this feminist movement, this, you know, with them wearing the pink hats and stuff and marching, you know, losing their minds for the right to kill their babies. All upset that, you know, Trump may have, you know, talked about touching a woman inappropriately 11 years ago, but they want the right to have sex and kill their babies if they want to. What kind of insanity are we living in? Back to the video, you notice this has her sitting as huge, maybe even a reference to Nephilim, the giants, could be. But she's exalted, she's bigger, she's stronger now. And all these men are bad. What they're doing is they're throwing insults at her. They're throwing words at her. Stupid, this, that, and whatever. So again, the picture here is men are bad, and we need to exalt the woman. We need to exalt the feminine. Remember the song, God is a woman. Right? Just showing you what your kid's going to be like. Now, I hate to say it, but that face right there, I can't even hardly look at that. It's such a demon, but there's a three-headed dog there. Now, come to find out, she's supposedly or allegedly a big Harry Potter fan. But we were sitting there on the couch, and Nancy was looking that up, and she was saying, yeah, she's a big Harry Potter fan. There was this three-headed or two-headed dog or something. I said, wait a minute. I said, a three-headed dog. I said, that's not just Harry Potter. It's something else. I said, what is that? That's something about, and I even said, I think it has something to do with guarding the spirit that guards hell or the underworld. And sure enough, there it is. Cerberus. Greek mythology, Cerberus was often called the Hound of Hades. Is the monstrous multi-headed dog that guards the gates of the underworld to prevent the dead from leaving. What is she trying to say to us here? If that's not telling you that the goddess is also the devil, what is? Why would she put this here? Remember, nothing in Hollywood, nothing in a movie or a video or a TV show is done by accident. Every prop, every line, every image is to convey a message. And in their lies and deception and in putting forth their agenda, they also at times put in truth. They tell you who they are. I believe that's what Cerberus is about there, the three-headed dog. But even if it wasn't, look, do you see all the occult symbolism, all the pagan symbolism? Why? Of course, here, They put the feminine, of course, up in the sky, again, high, lifted up above everybody else. And that candle, she is the light of illumination. Remember Jesus talked about not letting your candle being hid under a bushel? It's not Jesus that's the light of the world. It's not the church that's the light of the world. It's this feminine goddess. She is the illumination. She is where you get your light. Let me remind you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says that Satan can come as an angel of light. There's a deception. There's a deceptive light. It's not the light of God. Not the light of Jesus. Now, immediately when I saw this, and again, some of this stuff is still inappropriate, even though I did my best to edit out stuff. But the reason I'm showing you this is because this is another thing. The moment I saw it, I said, that is the Egyptian god Nut. That's the goddess of the sky, and it's the Egyptian sky dome god. Let me show you. There it is. Straight from the hieroglyphs of Egypt. They believed the sky was a dome. Well, how did they know that? Yeah, they knew. They knew certain truths about creation, and they depicted them. Of course, they turned the sky just like Native Americans turn things into gods. They turn the sky into a god. But see the stars embedded in the firmament there? Again, let me ask you. Notice it's got people underneath, right? Same thing we just saw just a second ago. See people under here? That's how I knew that's what it was. So they're depicting Egyptian mythology, Egyptian gods and goddesses, as well as, again, we get flat earth enclosed cosmology hints. You're going to see in a minute she breaks the firmament, which is what they all want to do. All right. Let's keep going. This just tells you about the Nut. It was known by various other transcriptions, is the goddess of the sky. And really, and she was depicted as a nude woman arching over the earth or as a cow. Let's see. No woman will be called a cow. So she, sky goddess might be upset about that. I don't know. Maybe that's why the Egyptians were destroyed. I don't know. Apart from offending the true creator, Yahweh. Okay. But anyway, just so you see, so you get a little background, there's another depiction of the sky goddess Nut or Nit. I don't know how. They say they're not sure how to pronounce it. But listen, isn't it interesting that they talk about Ra, the sun god, was second to rule. So really, I didn't even know this until I dug into this last night, that in the Egyptian pantheon, she's really the highest, above even Ra. Think about that. So what are they telling us? The goddess is the highest God. Truly the high God is the female God, the goddess. Right? I mean, think about it. What is the Catholic Church trying? The Catholic Church exalts Mary over Jesus. He's not top anymore. You got to go to Mary. You see how all this, the Babylon mystery religion, it's in Roman Catholicism, the ancient Romans. Keep going. Just some more pictures of it. Just let you see that. Here's another depiction of her with wings. Just wanted you to see that too. Remember we had winged women a minute ago, right? There it is, wings again from Egypt. Now, if you had any doubts about her Illuminati satanic affiliations, right, here she is making the triangle, the Illuminati symbol, sitting in a triangle. And then I forgot to get that picture out, but what this is around her is looks like it's a Kabbalah wheel. But it is also, I believe, depicting, it's a set in the alleged, again, the satanic lie of what the universe is, but appearing to be a portal there as well. I mean, even kind of, you know, possibly CERN imagery as well. Because, of course, what are they trying to tell us CERN's for? We want to create a portal. No, really, they know they can't create a portal because they know space doesn't exist. What are they saying? I believe CERN is all about trying to find the power to break the firmament, to break through. They want to fight God. They think they're going to, through technology and their supernatural power and Lucifer's help, Satan's help, that they're going to defeat Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ, God of the flesh, when he returns. This is what they think. And if you go to the book of Jasher, what's interesting, go to the book of Jasher and you read about the Tower of Babel being built, it literally tells you that part of the reason they wanted to build it was to reach the heavens so they could reach God and kill him. And they were building it as a protection from another flood. And what they wanted to do, listen to this, I'm not joking, from the book of Jasher and from the Talmud and others, I'm just telling you this is what it says. Well, what they wanted to do was create something, too, where if there was another flood, they could be very high. They wanted something that they thought a flood would not overcome. They wanted to break the firmament and drain the water out so that God could never flood the earth again. Take it or leave it, but they were building it for a reason. All right? Remember, God had just flooded the world. They knew about the flood. They knew about the Creator being angry. They knew about the fact of what it caused if we rebel against it. So they were trying to build. They were trying to use their technology, build a building to protect themselves from a flood and actually fight against God and try to do away with the means. They thought, well, only he can only destroy us with water, I guess. Again, stupid man and his limited knowledge. But see, remember, these people now, remember, we read the book of Revelation, chapter 17. The kings of the earth will join together and bring the armies there to make war against the Lamb, Jesus Christ, when he returns. That's what it's all about, folks. They are going to fight Jesus when he returns. This is what this whole thing's about. Look at that. Now, here we go. A little 1984 imagery, a little Thor imagery here with a hammer. There's some crazy stuff. I think this is the video, isn't it?
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my sisters. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon you.
Insane. Break the firmament. And that was Madonna's voice, actually. That wasn't her. That was Madonna speaking. But look on her arms. What does it say? Power. We're going to have the power to break the firmament. We're going to have the power to defeat God. We're going to have the power to become our own God. That's what this is all about. They're telling you the whole story. Why? Well, you know what these are? These are recruitment videos, people. Uh-huh. The glass ceiling. I had to pull this one up. Isn't that quite insane? They tell you. Right after the scene where she's got her arms like this and it says power, they show you where the power comes from. Satan, the demonic, inside them, in their eyes. Look at that. Some bad people out there. And here's a scene. What was it? One of the review people said, Ariana takes us to church. And all these people in white around, look, what is this? Depicting heaven. Remember, it says the saints will be clothed in white, in robes, in white robes in heaven, worshiping the Lord, worshiping God Almighty, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. No. What are they worshiping? Her. The goddess. The female god. Everybody see this? Pretty insane, isn't it? Another shot. What is she? Remember, she's supposed to be the God. She said, I am the Lord. The top of the light, she's the light. Lighthouse. I'm the goddess is the lighthouse. The feminine. Not that mean old Father Yahweh God. No, he's not the light. See, in Gnosticism, they teach, they don't deny the God of the Bible, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. They don't deny him. They just say, he's really the bad guy. And we are the light. They even go so far as to say that Lucifer in the garden was helping Adam and Eve get free from Yahweh. Because he gets angry sometimes and judges people. What do these people do? Kill their babies and anybody gets in their way. Just ask the Clintons and the Bush family. Remember George Bush, 1,000 points of light to create the new world order. What is she telling you? I'm a point, one of these points of light, the entertainment industry, the movie industry, these singers. Isn't it interesting that they call themselves idols, icons, stars? Now they're in unity with some angels, all right. Just not the good ones. They're in league with Lucifer. And then they finish it up with the picture on the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And this picture of Michelangelo, and of course we know he was messed up and Rome's messed up. But what were they depicting? This part of the painting was depicting God reaching out to Adam. I'll show you the real picture in just a second. Where do they put her in the place of God? And this is Mother Earth. Gaia. Or Gaia, or however they say it. I don't know. Here's the picture. The real picture. And yes, I think Michelangelo, from what we know, is from the other side. I think he liked dudes instead of women. Kind of the consensus. Don't know. But anyway. But don't you find this interesting? That her video starts from this goddess thing. And we end up back with a connection to Rome, to the great whore, to Mystery Babylon. Do you think this is any coincidence? These people tell you exactly what the deal is. Exactly. Here's you another one. This is a more recent article. Is God male or female? Why this U.S. church is debating it now. How do you debate that? You don't read the scriptures. You don't read the Holy Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, proven by archaeology and fulfilled prophecy. You don't get it from this book. No, 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 no. You get this from pagans. How does a church even start down this road? And there's Methodists, and there's Episcopalians, and there's Lutherans, all trying to promote this. The Church of England. Do you see a common theme? There it is. Here's another one. Look at this one. They're telling you what they're doing. Uniting world religions for peace. See, that's the message. Men, you, this patriarchy, you guys are too aggressive, too violent. You've made too many wars. We need the feminine. And we need to worship the goddess. Look, I had a guy tell me this week that his father is married to a witch, and he's into the witchcraft with her, and that his father now all he walks around talking about is the power of the feminine. The feminine power. He says he can't even let his father around his children, despite the fact that there's other issues too. But now remember, those two are practicing witchcraft, practicing spells, involved in it. I don't, you know, they may claim to be in white witchcraft or whatever, but you're still dealing with demonic spirits. You're still in the dark side. It doesn't matter what you call it. But there was an obsession with the man about the power of the feminine. Remember, they're possessed by demons. If you're practicing witchcraft, you're possessed by demons. Oh, get ready. There's going to be more of it coming. This is just, the snowball is already rolling down the hill. But I believe, again, this is where they are going to continue to take us. World religions unite as a prelude to extraterrestrial disclosure. All of this. Remember, Jack Parsons, Babylon Working, feminine power, fake moon landing, fake lie about the universe being all that it's not so that extraterrestrial life can come. They had to create this, folks. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I posted this on Facebook the other day, and I absolutely believe this. 2 Thessalonians. In fact, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, and if you would, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I can put this scripture up for you. And I'm almost done. I'm actually going to be under an hour and a half today. Pretty good. 40-something slides, right? Let's just finish with this. Don't be duped by Miss Oprah. She's part of this, too, pushing the goddess worship, the feminine worship. What did I say? 2 Thessalonians, right? Mm-hmm. Chapter 2. So let's go to verse 8, and this is where we'll finish this morning. Because the great delusion that is upon us, I believe has been, always been, the devil had the great delusion that God was going to allow him and actually help him sin. Yeah. Think about that one for a minute, because you're going to read this. God shall send strong delusion. God. All right, let's read this. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. This is speaking of the Antichrist. I don't have time to get into all that, but he's talking about the Antichrist, the world leader who will rule this new world order in the days ahead through the UN or a revamped United Nations. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now this is talking about the end time, satanic, new world order, Luciferian deception. The Antichrist, the beast world government, the one world religion. It only gets destroyed when the Lord Jesus comes back and destroys it with the bright sword that comes out of his mouth. And Jesus puts down all the kingdoms of the world and takes over as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he says here that Satan, the Antichrist, this whole beast system, this Babylon, Mystery Babylon, is going to have all kinds of power and signs and lying wonders. And said it's going to have so much deceivableness in it.
And then he says this, and he says, the reason for it is because people did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. What is the truth? Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, the only truth is the truth of God Almighty, the Creator, Yahweh Elohim, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Scriptures of God have revealed the truth, and God promised that heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would not pass away, not one. And the only light we have in this darkness is the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation. That is our standard. That is our guide. That is it. That is the rule for all doctrine and Christian practice. There is no other truth that trumps this truth. Okay? But he says, what do you say? You say, well, it says here that God shall send trouble. Oh, boy. Let me tell you what I believe it is. See, I was talking to somebody the other day about the one of the biggest problems, okay, in the biblical cosmology creation model of the earth being flat, covered by a solid firmament dome. That the sun and the moon and the stars move in a circuit about us. This is what the Bible teaches, without question. Okay, that hell, Sheol, and the abyss, Tartarus, is below. Heaven is above. That the earth is still and at rest. The earth does not move, spin, orbit, fly. The Bible is clear, geocentric, stationary, enclosed, right? System that God created. Well, now, if you're going to deceive people, remember, Jesus said, like it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, speaking when he would come. Like the days of Noah. What was happening in the days of Noah? What do we find out? The sons of God, which was a reference to the angels, Job 38, sons of God, came down, cohabited with human women, and produced a race of half-breeds, giants. Nephilim, Raphaim, Anakim. Who do you think that came from in Star Wars? Tell me. Again, they tell you all the time. So if we're going to have the days of Noah in the last days, what did you have there? You had the angels, the fallen angels, the evil angels, interacting very closely with human beings. How do we have that again when we've had thousands of years now of it being revealed that there are evil angels and evil spirits? How do you deceive the world? Well, you had to do two things. If you were going to have beings that were not human and not God's angels, but you had other entities that you wanted to pawn off and deceive the world with again, you had to come up with a pretty big story because this book gets in the way, right? Because this book rips back the curtain and we know what's going on, right? The Bible rips it all back. We know who's behind the curtain. We know who the Wizard of Oz is, right? So how do you do that? Well, you got to turn people against the Bible. So what was the number one way Satan come up with that has been more successful than anything else to turn people away from believing the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God? You create a completely different creation than what the Bible says the way it's created. You come up with a story. We've never felt the earth spinning, flying. Polaris is always in the same spot every night, the North Star. Yet we're told we're orbiting around and flying through the universe. It never changes. And again, our eyes, God put the North Star, I believe he put the North Star there, that it would be the star that was in the center of the dome. I believe he put it there so we would have a witness. You are not moving. You are not flying. You are not spinning.
It's the same year after year after year. But Satan come along. I go, you know what? No. The earth's not flat. It's not still. It's not covered by a dome. No, actually, the sun is not small and moving in a circuit about us like Psalm 19 says. No. That's not happening. No, the sun is much bigger. It's much further away. And it's the center of the universe. The sun, Ra. The Egyptian sun god Ra. We move around him. He's bigger, powerful, more stronger than us. He's the center of everything. The sun god. Go do a little research and you find out Copernicus, that came up with this whole thing, he stole this from the occult writings of Hermeticism, which was a religious, occult, pagan, satanic text. And they took this whole heliocentric orbiting around the sun thing. It came from that. It came from a myth. It came from a storybook. But see, here's where I believe God comes in, where God sends a strong delusion or he allows it. God will give you, if you want to be deceived and you're stubborn and hard-headed, he will give you enough rope to hang yourself with. He will give you blocks you can stumble over if you choose not to step over and not stumble over. People get all bent out of shape. One of the reasons people say, well, I can't believe the biblical cosmology, biblical creation, because the southern stars orbit and turn in a different direction than the northern star. So that has to mean we're on a ball. But wait a minute. If you believe what the Bible says, that God is the one who made the sun and the moon and the stars, and that God could make the stars rotate the other direction in the south than in the north without a ball, because guess what? I believe the Creator is still involved in his creation. I believe there's still supernatural influences that we can't explain. I believe the aurora borealis, we're seeing the glory of God, or the emerald glow from around the throne of God. They try to tell us, no, it's electromagnetic radiation and crap from the sun. No, it's not. There is not a scientific explanation for everything. Some things are supernatural. Even if you accept the heliocentric model, you can't tell me how the sun works. Oh, it's a continual, perfectly balanced, controlled, constantly maintained nuclear reaction. Really? How do you know that? Have you been there? No, you have not. NASA says they're sending a probe there, that the sun burns at 10,000 degrees, but they've come up with some special heat shield. Well, it's funny that I think the metal that melts at the highest rate is tungsten at 6,000 degrees. 6,000 degrees is the best we got. 10,000 degrees? Really? Even your own model, you debunk yourself. But people are going to believe, oh, yeah, they're sending a probe to the sun. It's going to send us back information and not burn up and melt. Come on. Unless, of course, the sun is not what we think it is. There's a guy, the Thunderbolt Project. Somebody's telling me about that the other day. These are some scientists that seem to believe that the sun is not what we think it is, that it's some kind of plasma ball getting its energy from somewhere else. I don't know. But to sit here, whether you believe the heliocentric Copernican liar, you believe the biblical cosmology, nobody can tell me how big the sun is, how far it is exactly, and how exactly it works. It's all just trying to figure out. We have no idea. Oh, and at one point, they said the sun was 6 million miles away. Another point, they said it was 12 million miles away. And now it's 93 million miles away. And then we can go outside and see that there's clouds behind the sun. So it's not 93 million miles away. Huh? Oh, but don't believe your eyes, believe us, because we're scientists. I've seen with my own eyes the clouds behind the sun, not videos, not somebody else's pictures. With my own eyes, I have seen the clouds behind the sun and the moon. You had to get that deception in to get people to believe that there was a possibility of galaxies and planets and things, and Earth-like planets in Goldilocks zones around a sun in a universe 40 billion, 100 billion light years away. That because we see a star twinkle at regular intervals. We know it's a planet orbiting a distant sun because we see a star twinkle. I read this article months ago. So they take them 100 million years. Wait a minute, 100 million light. They'd have to travel at the speed of light for 100 million years to get here. Or a billion years to get here. No. So now what they have is, no, the extraterrestrials, no, they have wormholes and portals. And we're going to help them out with CERN. We're going to help open these wormholes and portals so the aliens can travel through these time-warping wormholes so they can get here. I'm not joking. But see, here's the deception. I believe it's twofold. You had to create the lie of the heliocentric Copernican universe, or you couldn't create a lie that there's extraterrestrial life somewhere, so when they show up saying we're aliens, you wouldn't know for a fact that they were really fallen angels and demon spirits and their offspring. And it's coming, because how do I know that it's coming? I know that it's coming just because of what Jesus said. Like it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of coming. The angels were interacting closely with human beings in the days of Noah. What do you think? They weren't hiding. They were showing themselves and doing stuff. They're going to be doing it again. Mark it down. It's coming. The governments of the world, the UN, they're going to all step forward one day, world leaders. And they're going to say, look, we've known for a long time. They've been contacting us. They're already here. We're just waiting for the right time for everybody to be ready to handle it. Do me a favor real quick. Type in YouTube UFO movie trailer. I want to play this. I want to close with this. And this one's safe for children, all right? I apologize that some of those, even though I cut out a lot of stuff, believe me, I could not play the video. I trimmed it as much as I could for you to see what you need to see. And I'm not encouraging you to go watch it. Because, again, there's power behind it. There's demonic power, satanic power, lust power. There's all kind of power behind it. Well, we're going to play this video and then we're going to close this morning. Because I want you to hear, this is a movie coming out in the days ahead. Yeah, this one right here, second one. Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Imagine that, right? I want you to listen to what it says about the three things, the three questions, and how it's going to change everything when they show up. You got your sound on? Your sound's not on. It's not on here.
Call, please advise.
Copy that, 367. Stand by. What is it?
One of the brightest students I have ever had, and you are failing my class.
Did you hear about this?
Flight operations were temporarily suspended this afternoon after reports of a mysterious aircraft hovering above the airport.
I'm going to need footage from this entire facility.
I want all those passengers in conference room A.
We now believe that it was a small drone.
No way. It's way bigger.
When I was a kid, I saw something. These lights outside.
It wasn't a drone. The guy on TV was lying.
You don't automatically jump to the most extreme explanation.
This isn't some textbook problem. It's more complicated than anything you've ever seen before.
This terminal is crawling with federal agents. Why would they still be here if they figured out what it was?
We need to shut him down.
The FBI is monitoring our computers.
Why didn't I see this before?
Think it's some sort of signal?
That's binary. They're using math as a way to communicate. And if I'm right, he's coming back.
There's an opportunity to take a giant leap forward. Everything is riding on it. What are the most important questions in the world? Is there a God? What happens when we die? Are we alone in the universe? If anyone answered any one of those questions, it would change everything.
It's coming. It is coming. Three questions. Is there a God? What happens to us when we die? Right. What was the last one? Are we alone in the universe? Now, the Bible says, get this, the Bible says what tells us there's a God. Creation tells us there's a God. Tells us there's a creator. No, we had to do away with that. We're an accident, right? We're just a cosmic mistake. Won the lottery billions of times to be here. We know there's a God. We know what happens to us after we die. We go to heaven or we go to hell based on whether we have accepted God's way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. And we know we're not alone in the universe. Why? Because we know God is here with us. We know there's a devil. We know there's God's angels. We know there's fallen angels. And we know there's demon spirits. We are not alone. We know that already. Exactly. The Bible uses the term cosmos. It's funny when it says, you know, it says in Corinthians, it says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's literally the wisdom of this cosmos, this world's cosmos, what they have of it is foolishness. That's the definition of it. Listen, we are going to close today. I'm going to let you guys get out of here. But I'm just telling you, they are telling you what's coming. A guy in England sent me the Illuminati card, the Church of Middle America card. Anybody ever seen that card? It's the Illuminati card game from 1995 that foretold, you know, had a picture of 9/11 happening, had a picture of the Pentagon. It's foretold all kinds of things because the Illuminati, Satan's had these plans for a long time. It's not prophecy. It's just he's had these plans and he's working them out. And the Illuminati card game was their way of doling out exactly what was going to happen. Well, you can find it. Pull it up real quick. The Church of Middle America Illuminati card. Anyway, the Church of Middle America card's got a picture of a church, you'll see in just a second, with flying saucers, UFOs, all in the sky. And it said that the Church of America, basically the Christians, the conservatives, they won't believe it even when they see it happen. Why? Because we know what it is. We know it's a deception. We know it's from Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angels, his demon spirits, the Nephilim. We know. We're not going to deny that it's happening. No, it'll be happening. Here it is. Everybody see that? Church of Middle America card. Church, UFOs all up in the sky. And right here it says, and I know you can't see it, it says, they'll never get it even when the saucers are flying overhead. Any sub-genius group that controls the church gets to its power something, global power, if already has global power. And so, look, straight, peaceful, and conservative, the church. So they're saying straight, not into homosexuality, we're not accepting that perversion. Peaceful, we're not trying to fight the government. Conservative, we believe the Bible to be true. They're saying the true church will not accept this when it happens. That's the Illuminati card game. They know we're not going to be fooled by it. Though, let me just say this. The lukewarm church, the church that doesn't study the Bible, the church that doesn't accept the supernatural, the church that loves space and sci-fi and Star Trek and Star Wars and really work, that's really an idol in their life. Let me tell you, they will. They see something, some being that looks like it's from another planet somewhere in some distant galaxy. They're going to be, oh, I've been wrong all along. It's not Jesus. It's you, Hoobadooboo, from Goobaboo-boo. You laugh, but watch it happen. I mean, even the Pope says he's ready to baptize aliens. The Pope says he's ready to baptize aliens. The chief, one of the chief Jesuits, Guy Consul Magno, chief Jesuit, MIT guy. You know what he says? The aliens. We will look to the aliens as our saviors when they arrive. That's the Pope's chief advisor on science and astronomy. Guy Consul Magno. Look him up. Anybody doubts me, just look it up. These are not hidden things. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Truth, man. Dose of truth this morning. Expose the world we're living in and what's coming. You know, that's what the church is supposed to do, right? We're supposed to expose the evil and the darkness and the sin and the lies and the deception of the world we're living in. Show you how the Bible foretold it thousands of years ago. And point you to Jesus. See, the good thing about it, you know what's good about that? You can have the one who wrote the Bible living inside of you. That's one of the best things. So I'm going to say this. I pretty much know everybody in here today, but those watching, listening, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, ask him to forgive you. Believe he loves you. He died for you on that cross to deal with your sin, set you free from sin, from Satan, from these lies, from this whole system. Give him your life and he will change your life and he'll help you understand the Bible. He'll lead you into truth. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for this time together, God, to worship you, to love on you, and we thank you that God, it's not just we're not just here going through some act of religious ceremony. I know people in this room, Lord, I think everybody in this room is born again. They have experienced your presence and power in their life. They have a relationship with you. They talk to you. You talk to them. It's a real relationship. And I just pray anybody out there watching, listening, that they don't have that real relationship, that they will find it. That they will turn to you, that they will confess they're a sinner, be willing to turn from sin and from evil and wickedness and things that you hate, and start running after you, God, and accept the blood of Jesus to wash and clean their sins away, and to know that he rose from the dead so that they can have hope of eternal life in heaven. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you make that known to any heart out there that's not truly been born again. And I thank you for it. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys be blessed. We'll say bye to those watching and listening out there. You guys here, you know the rules. Hug some necks before you leave. Thank you.